إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, I want to clarify two issues which seem to create all kinds of controversies for nothing. The one is the issue of the sighting of the moon for the beginning of a month and the ending of a month. And the second one is the issue of Qurbani or Udhiya. The question that keeps getting asked, which is that, is one sheep enough for the whole family? Now, let's start with that one. The condition for Qurbani or Udhiya, which refers to people who are not in Hajj, people who are in Hajj, their sacrifice is called Hadi, and they do it in Makkah itself. That sacrifice in any case is not permissible to be done anywhere else. It has to be done in Makkah. It's part of the Arkan of Hajj. Now we are talking about the sacrifice of people who have not gone for Hajj. And the question that gets asked, as I said, is one sheep or one goat sufficient for the whole family? Now the point I want to clarify is that Udhiya or Qurbani is an individual responsibility. It's not an issue of the family. So first of all, the question itself is wrong. To ask, is it enough for the whole family? It's not a question of the family. It's an individual responsibility on every man and woman who is Muslim, who is adult, who is sane. If he or she has an amount equal to or more than the nisab amount of zakat on the day of Eid al-Adha, then he or she must make the sacrifice. It is as simple as that. So, for example, if you have a family in which you have, say, father, mother, and three children. Out of the three children, one of them is an adult and he is earning, he has got an income and he has some money. So, father has money, he has the amount of nisab. Mother, she has her jewelry and so on and so forth. She may not be working, she may not have an income in that sense, but she is a woman of wealth. So she has enough in terms of the nisab of the of zakat, she has that. And there is this adult son who is earning and he has his own savings. So how many sheep must they sacrifice? Three. Each one. Now they have two other children who are small. That is not part of the calculation. Right, it's like saying I have my whole family. In my family, I have, I am there. My wife is there. You know, I have got five children. I also have a cat. Now, what about the cat? I mean, it's not part of the story, right? On the other hand, you have another family where the father is earning, and he pays zakat because it's liable for him. His wife is not earning. She does not have any jewelry and so on. So she does not pay zakat. They have four or five children. They are all small children. So how many sheep must they sacrifice? One. Right? Now, you might say, well, you know, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me enough and more. I would like to sacrifice more than one. And I would like to, for example, one of the things to do, which is, Alhamdulillah, it is a mustahab, it is a sunnah of the Sahaba. And it's a wonderful thing to do, which is to make a sacrifice in the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is not fard. If somebody does it, Alhamdulillah, good for him. If he does not do it, no problem. Similarly, you might say, my parents have passed away, my grandparents have passed away, I would like to make a sacrifice as Isa alayhi sawab for my parents, my grandparents, most welcome, please do it, no problem. But if you are not able to do it or you don't want to do it for whatever reason, no problem either. The sacrifice which is wajib, which is fard, about which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the famous hadith which I have sent out before as well, he said that if a person is liable to sacrifice and he or she does not do that, then let them not come and pray with us Salatul Eid. I mean, something as severely reprimanded as that. So it is a fard on everyone who has the nisab of zakat on the day of Eid. Right. It's an individual thing. So the question, if somebody asks you and says, is it enough for the family? Please explain to them, nothing to do with the family. It's an individual thing. So if you have it, you please make the sacrifice, nothing to the family. Now, the question of moon sighting. Now, this is another I don't know, eternal controversy. I don't know why it's a controversy, because it is one of the clearest things as far as Islam is concerned. There's nothing more clear than this. And that is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, see the moon. He did not say calculate whether the moon is there or not. He said, see the moon. So whether you see it with your naked eyes or whether you see it through an instrument, that's not a problem. So he said, see the moon and start fasting. See the moon and stop fasting. And if you do not see the moon, for whatever reason, right? Maybe it's an overcast sky, what not. Forget that. If you cannot see, he said, if you do not see the moon, complete 30 days of that month. So, when do you see the moon? When do you look for the moon? On the 29th day, because in the lunar calendar, you've got 29 days or 30 days. So, on the 29th day of Ramadan or Dhul Hijjah or Dhul Qaeda or whichever month, on the 29th day, I go look for the moon. The moon is, I can't see it because monsoon clouds, whatnot, right? What must I do? Add one more day. So, if it is Ramadan and on the 29th of Ramadan, I do not see the moon, what must I do? Fast one more day. Where is the need for a controversy? What more clarity do you want? Similarly, Dhul Qaeda, 29th of Dhul Qaeda, I look for the moon, which is the moon of Dhul Hijjah. I don't see it. What must I do? Add one more day. So, it is not today, it is tomorrow. Right. Now, the whole issue of, oh, but you see, the moon had come out and we did not see it because there is a cloud. Forget all this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say all this. He said, see the moon and start, see the moon and stop, finished. Now, what is the meaning of see the moon? Does it mean that every single individual person must see the moon? No. As long as the moon is sighted by somebody who is a person who is trustworthy, this sighting can be taken as a sighting for that entire area, whatever that area might be. It might be one country, it might be multiple countries, because if there are multiple countries which are under one ruler, then the ruler can declare, and the declaration of the ruler is valid for all of those countries. It can be one country, say for example India, it can be one country, say for example the United States or Australia, which is a big country. These are big countries, and you might say, we have sighted the moon in Chennai, for example, or you have sighted the moon in Gujarat, or you have sighted the moon in Calcutta, and we have taken this one sighting as a sighting for the whole country. This is possible, this is legal, this is jais, this is permissible. There is no problem. We don't have to say that, no, I have to see the moon in Hyderabad. I have to see the Hyderabadi moon. With Zafran on it. This is completely ridiculous nonsense that we do every year and create all kinds of confusion for everybody else. Similarly, the whole demand of people to say that the moon, why don't we have one day Eid in the whole world? Now, my point is, I tell people, you've got two choices. Either keep your mouth shut and let people imagine that you are a fool, or open your mouth and prove it. I mean, what nonsense. When you have a time difference of 12 hours between countries and countries, how can you have Eid on one single day for the whole world? Tell me. How is it possible? So, for this, the best thing that I have come across is a fatwa by Sheikh Ibn al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayh, which I will send with this reminder also. He explained it very beautifully. They asked him, they said that we are people of the Saudi embassy in the United States. Who should we fast with the local sighting in the US, or should we follow Saudi Arabia, which is the usual thing? We follow Saudi. Ibn al-Uthaymeen gave a very, very good answer. He said, when you start fasting for the day, this query came about Ramadan, but this applies across the board to all the months. He said, when you start fasting for the day, he said, when do you begin the fast? Do you begin your fast when Saudi is beginning their fast? Or do you begin the fast when it is time to begin the fast in Washington, for example? What is the answer? Obviously, I mean, how can you begin the fast when they are doing it in Saudi Arabia? I mean, this, if they wait until the fast comes to, question of time difference, right? So, he said the same logic applies to the month. The logic which applies to the day applies to the month. And what is that logic? Fast or break your fast, Eid or no Eid, depending on the local sighting of whichever country you live in. For example, now we are in Hyderabad. If you look at Australia in Melbourne, now the time here in Hyderabad is 5:22 a.m. What is the time in Melbourne? Australia? 9:45 a.m. So shall we wait and pray Salatul Fajr? Or shall we tell them now you pray Salatul Fajr because we have just prayed Salatul Fajr at 9:45? It's a ridiculous thing. And then somebody says, oh, why can't the whole world play Salatul Fajr at the same time? That question is as ridiculous as asking, why can't the whole world have Eid on the same day? It is 5:23 a.m. here in Hyderabad. In Guyana, where I spent some beautiful years of my life, it is 5:23 p.m. yesterday's.
Sunday.
Right? That is Sunday, 5:23 p.m. So, sometimes when I speak to my friends in Guyana, I tell them, your future is bright because I'm looking at the sun here. Right? Because I'm 24 hours ahead of them. So, now 24 hours behind. Now, you say, Eid must be on the same day. How can it be? And this is also part of Shaykh Usaymin's fatwa. This was concerning the Yawmul Arafah. They asked him, when should we celebrate or fast for Yawmul Arafah? The day when people are standing in Arafah in Arafah in Saudi, or when it is 9th of Dhul Hijjah. He said, if you do that, then when people are standing in Arafah, in your country, it will already be 10th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the Yawmul Nahar, which is the day of Eid. How can you fast? Because if you are ahead, so what must you do? Fast or not fast according to local sighting. Now, issue of Yawmul Arafah. This question always gets asked. We are fasting for Yawmul Arafah, but people are standing in Arafah. See, understand this. Yawmul Arafah is the name, just the name. It has nothing to do with Arafah. It could be called Yawmul Mumbai or something. I mean, you know, it's just a name. Yawmul Arafah is the name given to the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Yawmul Nahar, the day of sacrifice, which is also called Eidul Adha, is the name given to the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. Eidul Fitr, which is the name for which day? First of Shawwal. The name for first of Shawwal is Eidul Adha. Eidul Fitr. Right? So, when must you fast for Yawmul Arafah? The day when it is 9th of Dhul Hijjah in whichever country that you are living in. Again, the same example of Australia, because the time difference is a good example to give. When people are standing in Arafah, in Australia it is already the next day, which is the day of Eid. How can they fast? It is haram to fast on the day of Eid. So there is no need for all of these controversies, and that is what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, Ibn Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, that fast according to the country in which you are living, not according to your nationality, not according to the country of your origin, and not according to Saudi Arabia. Whatever is happening in Saudi Arabia is valid for Saudi Arabia. It is not valid for every other country in the world, across the world. So please, anyone ask you this absolute dumb questions, you know, the total waste of time and energy and millions of messages flying all across the world. Why can't we have Eid on one day in the whole world? I mean, nonsense. I tell people, go read geography. I mean, for God's sake, if you didn't go to school, don't, you know, dump it on somebody else's head. I mean, really, total ignorance. Instead of this, let us follow the hadith of Rasulullah very clearly. See the moon and fast. If you don't see the moon, complete 30 days. And having said that, definitely there is grounds to say that if you are living in one country which has the same time, then why must you have, you know, 10 different sightings, and why must people insist that I must sight it or in my house or in my city or in my mohalla? That is nonsense. I mean, this is something that really seriously, especially places like India and so on, one time zone, America at least has three time zones, India is one single time zone. We need to sit down, the ulama must sit down and say, why is it that we can't agree on something and say we will have one sighting and we have Eid on the same day for the whole country? This is eminently possible. This is permissible, and the only reason it is not being done is because people can't put their minds together on this particular thing. That's completely and totally ridiculous. So I think this is something that we have to, we must try to see if this can happen. But the whole world and so on, it is obviously not possible because of the time differences and all this, right? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from needless controversies and to help us to do that which pleases Him and save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.